Potter's 522 WTIC 1-800-966-WTIC star WTIC. It's just myself today. Bruce is away. With Bruce being away, we especially welcome your phone calls about anything, really. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC if you have a cell phone. And I'm not exactly sure when Bruce is coming back, but we'll soldier on bravely without him. And my name is Colin McEnroe. We also will be talking a little bit later to Chris Francis, who's covering the impeachment hearings for us. We may have other guests as the day goes along here, but we're dependent on you. I'm dependent on you to prop me up and support me. Now, why is it that we might only play Irish music? Can anyone guess? Does anybody know what today is? I feel like Mr. Rogers. Does anybody know what today is? Sure, you know. It's a day about a man who walked around Dublin all day. Do you know who I'm talking about? Leopold Bloom. Does that ring a bell? Sure. Today is Bloom's Day. Now, let me just say this. Actually, and we've been trying to get some kind of Ulysses expert on here and have not suggested. You know, for people who don't know what Bloom's Day is, Bloom's Day is the day in which the book Ulysses is set. And wait a minute. We might have to postpone this discussion of Ulysses. We have some breaking news here. Some breaking news involving one of our loony listeners. So joining us now is Bobby from Glastonbury. Bobby is not the loony listener in question, but he may have important information. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Colin. I may be a loony listener also, but not the one in question.
Okay.
I happened to turn the radio on a little early to catch the news and stuff, and I caught the tail end of the show that precedes you.
Yeah.
And his last caller, he says, we've got 30 seconds left. We got a caller from New Hartford.
Yes.
And my ears just perked up because I had a feeling that you can guess who it was.
It was Mary from New Hartford.
Bingo. You got it.
Oh, I'm so sorry I didn't hear this. I was busy screaming at Bobby.
Unfortunately, she only had 30 seconds, so she really didn't get a chance to get into gear.
It takes her about a minute and a half for her psychosis to cook up.
Yeah, it was a shame because all she had time to do was profess her love for Rush and what a dedicated and loyal listener she is.
You know what? You know what this is all about? The fact that he's getting divorced. And I brought this up with her the other day, that maybe she should consider going out with Rush, and she brushed that idea off. And now we find out that she's a slut.
Well, that's probably what the call would have got to if she would have had more time.
I'm guessing it wouldn't have taken very long. What a little tramp.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. You know, we hear all these professions whenever she calls up about what a good Christian woman she is and everything, but clearly, poor Marta, the aerobics instructor, the body is not even cold here. Go ahead, play your little song. Go ahead.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
Mary, of course, for those of you who haven't really followed her career, is sort of a... She's like the Pirandello of talk radio callers because, like, on one occasion she called up and she tried to convince us that we weren't on the air at the moment. When we, in fact, knew we were on the air. It was like the only thing we did know, the only claim that we could absolutely make at the moment was that we were on the air. We couldn't make the claim that we were doing, you know, a good radio show or anything like that, but we could at least... claim that we were on the air. I just knew this. I had this instinct for this when I was talking to her yesterday, that once it really sunk in with her, or sank, I don't know which, that Rush was getting divorced. As one TV commentator said, that the aerobics instructor wife, Marta, of the easily winded radio talk show, Rush Limbaugh, once it's clear that that marriage was on the rocks, Mary would waste no time in moving in. What a little tramp. That's all I can say. All right? And I hope I haven't spoken too harshly. What a tramp. All right. Let's go back to something that here's the thing, okay? I'm going to precede what I'm saying with the understanding that most people don't care about what I'm about to talk about. It doesn't make any difference. All right? You have to listen anyway, even though you don't care. I understand that this is it's a kind of recherche thing that you're just not that interested in. But as I say, I don't care. Because here's the thing. I kind of agree with you in a weird way. Okay, so there's the book Ulysses by James Joyce. By some people's account, the most important book in the English language. Except it's not really. Now, I happen to have read Ulysses. Most people probably haven't, but I was obliged to in college. I can't really say that this book has a lot of meaning to me. I know I'm going to a Bloom's Day party. Once again, to sort of put this in its necessary context, today is June 16th. June 16th, 1904, is the day on which Ulysses is set. Ulysses, this gigantic, thigh-bruising book, is just a day in the life of Leopold Bloom and Stephen Dedalus and Molly Bloom. But it's just it's a day. It's a day in Dublin. It's one day, and that day is as I say, June 16th, 1904. So today is 100 years to that day. And every year on what is now called Bloom's Day, people who are fans of Joyce or who are pretending to be fans of Joyce do gather in various places around the world and drink and eat disgusting food. And in some cases, read Ulysses from cover to cover. Now, there used to be such an event right here in the greater Hartford area. And I think it was organized by a woman named Lila Cohen from Paperback Booksmith up in South Windsor or something like that. I can't remember who. I think she might have been the one who put it together. But anyway, I'm not sure that it takes place anymore. If there is an event where Ulysses is read all day long, nonstop, from cover to cover, I would be interested in knowing. Certainly in other places. In New York, for example, they're doing it, and people like Stephen Colbert from The Daily Show and Frank McCourt and people like that are reading it from cover to cover at Symphony Space up in upper New York. I don't know where that is. It's up on 96, I think. All over the world there's that. And Dublin has just gone nuts, and there's tourists all over the place, and people are eating gigantic amounts of disgusting Irish food and celebrating Ulysses. I have to say that Ulysses is not that meaningful a book to me. I'm happy to live in a world where James Joyce is important and where people take something as odd as Ulysses and make that big a fuss out of it. I'm glad there is such a thing. But, you know, in terms of sort of Irish intellectual confusion, first of all, I want to say that actually this was suggested to me earlier today in a conversation I had with my fellow writer, Lou Anne Rice, who said that in some ways, Bloom's Day seemed to her a little bit the way New Year's Eve is to drunks. You know, that, you know, if you actually are a regular drinker, New Year's Eve is kind of amateur hour. And if you're sort of steeped in your Irishness, probably St. Patrick's Day seems kind of stupid, too. And something about Bloom's Day, I mean, you know, if you're sort of a confused Irish pseudo-intellectual like me, every day is Bloom's Day, okay? But anyway, if anybody has anything more to add to this, or want to talk, if you want to talk about how Ulysses added to or changed your life, you know, there's that book by Alain de Botton called How Proust Can Change Your Life. But there is no book called How Joyce Can Change Your Life, at least not about James Joyce. And maybe there never will be. But anyway, if you feel like you have anything to add to this conversation, not that a conversation has actually taken place, I would need Bruce for that. But give us a call, 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. And for that matter, if it's not true that Ulysses is the most important book in the English language, and I kind of doubt that it really is, as an Irish-American pseudo-intellectual, I would love to be able to claim that it was. But I don't think that it is. But then that raises the question, what is the most important book in the English language? Anyway, if you feel like you can contribute in any way to this conversation, call. If not, don't call, and we'll change the topic. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. I do want to mention on a much more prosaic level, although on a no less momentous level, that the 9/11 Commission has established that there is, quote, no credible evidence that Saddam Hussein's government in Iraq collaborated with the al-Qaeda terrorist network on any attacks in the United States, including September 11th. And the Bush administration and the and Rush Limbaugh, and all the people who listen to and believe Rush Limbaugh said, yeah, but there is. Anyway, we're going to take a break in just a second, and we also will be talking a little bit about the Roland impeachment hearings. I have this fear that I'm talking about them too much, and that I'm boring you, the listener. So I was trying to find a little something else to talk about here at the beginning, because I know that once I wander off into the Roland impeachment hearings, I may never come back. And also, although I've been a pretty steadfast watcher of the Roland impeachment hearings, I did miss a little bit of them today. So I'm counting on Chris Francis, our Cracker Jack newsman, to fill in the gaps in my understanding, and perhaps also you who are watching at home, if you have anything that you'd like to report, or even anything you'd like to make up, that would be fine as well. It's almost 20 minutes past the hour. We'll take that break, and we shall return.
PWTR.
This annoying music for Wednesday, as time permits. All right, we've got a lot of calls here, and we'll just take all of them. We'll start with Dale from Manchester. Hi, Dale.
Hi. Basically, I was just calling.
The C word. Cookies. Now, as I mentioned before, there's a lengthy Wall Street Journal article today saying sales of cookies are off, 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 off. Now, they're still found in the cupboards and cookie jars of 92% of American kitchens, which means that almost nobody has given up eating cookies. We're just not eating very many of them, not as many of them as we used to. And, of course, the cookie industry is fighting its way back. The new vanilla Prozac Oreos are an example of one way they're trying to get back into the game. There must be some other things that the cookies could do to sort of modernize themselves. I think an Atkins cookie that contained, say, a dead bird, you know, the kind of thing that you can actually eat under Atkins, a little dead baby sparrow instead of the vanilla filling inside an Oreo, because you can eat that. That's good. As a matter of fact, the whole thing, though, there should be a way of taking some kind of animal and killing it and then making it look like a cookie. I mean, if we could put a man on the moon occasionally, we should be able to do that. Because that's the thing with Atkins, you have to be eating meat. And, oh, man, I'm an idiot to take this call, but here we go. Ron from Canton. Part of a youth movement to revive the team, the Los Angeles Lakers have signed the remains of Ted Williams. It's time for Sparta Day with Mr. Ambrosio and myself, Louis Gaston de la Mer. And it's obviously also a movement to break up the Pistons. It's obviously too good. Here's the biggest. There is something about, I mean, I went to college with, like, guys from Long Island.
Right.
Who, like, had the record, the vinyl record of Marv. You know, saying...
Crazy about the Knicks. I had it.
The Lakers have stopped warming up. They're just watching Willis toss that leg.
And here comes Reed. But you know what the thing is about the record? Here's the worst thing about the record.
They'd sit in their dorm rooms and they'd sob.
And I had all those sports records, which definitely recharted my social behavior in the time. Instead of getting the Beatles or the Stones or something, I was getting Havlicek Stole the Ball, Crazy About the Knicks, Holtzman's Heroes, Rise of the Rangers, all of the, you know. I even got the Impossible Dream, which was the Red Sox record.
Would you like to go up to the movies with me tonight? You know, that can actually
exactly.
Influence your dating behavior.
Well, on a lot of those movies, because in the old days, they didn't record everything that was done on the radio. Some of those calls were recreated.
Oh, really?
Not the actual call, which is a bit of a ripoff.
Joe, I wish you hadn't told me that.
And I wish I had still had those albums, because I'm sure they're worth boku bucks at this point.
And can you imagine it on eBay? All right.
Pretty good. That's not bad. That sounds like it's Marvin, it's somebody else, too.
A little bit of Steve and Al Albert, too.
Yes, all the Al.
Can you imagine these kids growing up? Can you pass the please? Please, please, yes.
Yeah.
All right, we have to go.
Goodbye.
Hear stories of lost love. I want to hear stories of vomit, or, you know, whatever your. I mean, it just seems to me the prom is so redolent of everything. Or stories of Bloomsday. It is the 100th anniversary of Bloomsday. We've been talking a little bit about that. I was explaining earlier on the show that, I mean, I'm not. Oh, never mind what I was explaining. We actually have a prom story or two. Here's Jay from Walcott. Hi, Jay.
Hi. How are you?
Fine.
I not only have one bad prom story, I have two, which I would love to go back and change.
All right.
My junior prom, I ended up taking a very beautiful girl. The only problem in my innocence, I agreed to let my father be the limo driver. And now, further on in years, I realized that I had a very good opportunity that night, which never led to anything.
But your father didn't actually hit on your date or anything like that.
No, he was just more of a... turned his head and, you know, wasn't looking in the mirror or anything like that either.
So he was, but he was just sort of a buzzkill.
That's right.
All right. What's your next story? Okay.
I did not have the courage to ask the girl that I should have asked, Sue Camerata, if you're out there.
Yeah.
The girl that I did take to the prom, I felt terrible about afterwards because I completely ignored her during the prom.
Because she wasn't Sue Camerata?
That's correct.
Yeah. Where is Sue Camerata these days? Because I went out with her a few times, and I don't know where she is anymore. She doesn't stay
home.
She married Marty Schwartz, and I never heard from her again. All right, nice to talk to you. See, that neither one of those is a jarring, earth-shattering story. But you know what they are? They are little threads of ourselves that become unkinked and snagged on the prom decorations of that year. And as we move forward through life, the personal fabric of our inner Afghan is unraveling. Those threads are stuck there in the past. And as we try to walk forward, the warp and woof of our personal fabric is slowly unraveling back to the prom. Oh, man, if I were any more poetic, I'd be at the Sunken Garden tonight. As a matter of fact, I don't want to hear his prom. I'm not strong enough to hear Locutus's prom story, so I'm going to go straight to Sarah from Southbury. Hi, Sarah.